This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center and NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيد الأولين والآخرين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Welcome everybody to our weekly gathering, reading through منهاج العابدين إلى جنة رب العالمين of سيدنا إمام الغزالي رحمه الله تعالى. And we noted that this text is going to talk about seven issues that a person is going to find as they try to live a life of faith and devotion. And we went through, alhamdulillah, the first issue, the first challenge was knowledge. And now that takes us to the second challenge, if you will, or obstacle, al-aqaba athaniya wa hiya tawbah. So Imam al-Ghazali, he says, rahimahullah, al-aqabatu athaniyatu hiya aqabatu tawbah. How could tawbah be a challenge if we fail to utilize it? Imam Sheikh Ahmed al-Dardir, he says, ma shay ashaddu ala shaytan min tawbat al-mu'min. Like, there's nothing more difficult and hard for shaytan than when somebody repents, when someone of faith repents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Repent to all of you believers, you will succeed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, by Allah, I repent to Allah and I seek His forgiveness 70 times a day. Now the narration from Abu Huraira says 100 times a day. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So tawbah becomes a problem if we fail to use it. And that's why, subhanAllah, there's a really beautiful statement that someone who fails to repent should make repentance for failing to utilize the power of repentance. SubhanAllah. So the next few weeks, inshallah, we're going to go through this obstacle and hopefully be able to translate this obstacle into something that can be a tool that we use. So the Shaykh, he says, نَفْعَنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعِلْمِهِ فِي دَارِينِ أَمِينَ ثُمَّ عَلَيْكَ يَا طَالِبَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَفَقَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِتَوْبَةِ. And he says, then it becomes obligatory upon you, you who are seeking worship, ibadah. And that's a very, very important statement of the Imam. What is it that you and I seek? What is it that we truly seek in what we do? That's why we say that a believer is always asking his or herself two questions: why and how? Why do I do what I do? And how do I do it? So the Shaykh, he says, طالبوا العبادة, right? طالب العبادة, you who seeks worship. SubhanAllah. وفقق الله تعالى بتوبة. He said, if you really seek worship, then you should be consummate in repentance. وَلِذَٰلِكَ لِأَمْرَيْنِ. And maybe somebody will ask, why? Like, why do I need to repent? Like, we live in an age now that is constantly filling our ego up with the helium of the dunya. It's very difficult to be a penitent person for a number of reasons. Number one, the failure to recognize sin. So we say, like, Islam identifies this as sinful behavior. People will catch an attitude, man. Within the Muslim community, people will catch an attitude, even though, and we're going to talk about how do we recognize sin today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined sin. And the Prophet has defined sinful behavior. People catch an attitude. So that's the first. We live in a very kind of dystopian world where there is no sin. And then the second is an inflated ego. As one time we were sitting with one of our teachers and he was talking about repentance. And one of the brothers, he was like, I don't need to repent. I haven't done anything wrong. And this was in the 90s when things were a little bit more rough. And the sheikh, he said, no, you're the first person who needs to repent. And the brother caught his feelings. He said, why? And the sheikh, he said, you need to repent for being stupid. Only a dumb person would think that they haven't made sin or fallen into some kind of sin. And then the third is that comfort in the material world is often translated to mean that my faith is fine. So the glitz and the glam and the access to the shine of the dunya can blind us from seeing our own shortcomings. That feel, man, that juice that the glitzy world gives us, man. And we have to be very, very careful in an age of opulence that this opulence doesn't cause us to forget al-Jannah, man. So the Shaykh responds to this as though he knows exactly what we were probably going to say. He says that the relationship between worship and repentance is the following. وَذَٰرِكَ لِأَمْرَيْنِ That's due to two things. أَحَدُهُمَا The first. لِيَحْسُلَ لَكَ تَوْفِيقُ تَعَهُ That when you repent, this brings about the guidance to become obedient. فَإِنَّ شُؤُومَ الذُّنُوبِ يُورِثُ الْحِرْمَانِ وَيُعْقِبُ الْخِذْلَانِ SubhanAllah. He said, because the evil of sin causes a person to like inherit more evil. Being caught up in sin without repenting, right, leads to evil. وَيُعْقِبُ الْخِذْلَانِ And punishment. وَأَنَّ قَيْدَ الذُّنُوبِ يَمْنَعُ عَنِ الْمَشْءِ إِلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ وَالْمُسَارَعَةِ إِلَىٰ خِتْمَتِهِ And that the bonds of sin prevent a person from literally walking to Allah, taking steps to Allah, obedience to Allah, having proper faith in Allah. And it's interesting that he uses the word mashi. Because we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you take one step to me, I take 10 steps to you. If you walk to me, I run to you. لَكِنَّ الذُّنُوب قُيُود عَنْ هَذَا But sin is going to stop us from being able to walk, man. It's going to weigh us down. وَالْمُسَارَعَ إِلَى خِتْمَتِهِ And to race and to flee. And to be expedient in his service. So sin now is located by the imam and posited as a force that's going to weigh us down. And the way to immediately remove that is to repent. When somebody says, man, my life is horrible, I'm so far from Allah, repent. As soon as you repent, you are close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Man, I'm such a bad person. Repent, alhamdulillah. The Prophet says, At-ta'ib, the one who repents is like one who has no sin. So now we see the importance of repentance as a medicine to treat a heart that feels like there's no hope. فَيَا عَجَبًا كَمْ مِنَ التَّائِبْ لَا يُغْفَرُ Like, there's never been someone who truly repents that's not forgiven. Allah says, يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِي. The Quran says Allah is constantly accepting the repentance of a person. So now we see why Imam Al-Ghazali locates this as an obstacle. If we fail to use it on the journey, then we're going to get too heavy. We won't be able to continue on the path. And also, if we feel like we've done so many evil things, this is a way to immediately, alhamdulillah, change our life and live for something better, man. Imam Sayyidina Imam Al-Qushayri, he's one of the great scholars, inshallah, one day we'll teach Risalat Qushayri, inshallah. He said that somebody asked him, when does the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start? He said, قرب العبد من ربه يقع أولا, that the first step in being near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the relationship between a person and Allah is faith and forgiveness, faith and tawbah, iman wa tawbah, ثم بإحسانه. And then the second thing is ihsan, is to constantly try to work to become better. وقرب الرب من عبده في الآخرة في الدنيا بالعرفان وبالآخرة بالردوان والغفران. Allahu Akbar. He said, and that Allah's nearness to you in this life is first found in the sense that you continue to gain more insight and understanding and knowledge of what is really important, ibadah. You have perspective. That's why the akhirah is important. Without the akhirah, if you look at a painting that doesn't have perspective, everything looks the same. But when it's drawn with perspective, you're able to see through everything else and get to the point. The akhirah gives you perspective. It allows you to look through the dimensions of the dunya and to see through all that to the hereafter. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Wallahi, the Muslim community, we have to be very careful, man, that we don't get caught up in this glitzy, cool amplification of the dunya in the name of da'wah. Any true person that's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always amplify the akhirah and put the dunya in its right place. I can't be part of the problem I'm trying to solve. I can be aware of the problem I'm trying to solve. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the constant teachings of the Prophet is, don't get caught up in all this, man. Don't get caught up in this. What did he say for us, about us? He said, what I fear for you is dunya. That's what I fear for you. Shaitan has given up that Muslims will ever make shirk. Alhamdulillah. Al-Ummah Muhammadiyah, alhamdulillah, its iman is strong, inshaAllah. There's no shirk in this ummah, alhamdulillah. But what he said is, what I fear for you is this world, is this dunya, is getting caught up in the glitz and the glamour, so you no longer have perspective. You can't see through it. You can only see it. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, when he was walking with the Sahaba and they saw a sheep that had died and was decomposed and had holes in its ear. And he grabbed it and he said, who will pay me a good price for this? Al-Kama Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, nobody will want to buy that. It's useless. He said, this is the dunya. This is the dunya. If we want to assess what's wrong with the Muslim ummah, it is we are no longer an ummah who lives for akhirah. We die to live instead of living to die. So what makes us different from any other ummah? We became very similar to the other communities, but what has always made us different is our connection to the hereafter, that perspective, that depth. So Sayyidina Imam, he says, وَأَنَّ قُيُودَ الذُّنُوبِ وَمَرْحَبًا بِإِخْوَانَنَا وَأَخَوَاتِنَا مِنَ الْعِرَاقِ. That some of our Iraqi brothers and sisters here, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them, inshallah. We hope that America will repay you for the war crimes that it has continually committed against you for the last now almost 30, 40 years. Same with other brothers and sisters. وَأَنَّ قَيُودَ الذُّنُوبِ يَمْنَعُ عَنِ مَشِي إِلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَالْمُسَارَعَةِ إِلَى خِدْمَتِهِ بِأَنَّ ثِقْلَ الذُّنُوبِ يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الْخِفَّةِ لِلْخَيْرَاتِ وَالنَّشَاطِ فِي الطَّاعَاتِ. The Shaykh, he says that you have to repent because if you don't repent, the weight of sin will keep you from moving to the obedience of Allah and rushing to serve His deen. لِأَنَّ ثِقْلَ الذُّنُوبِ أَوْ ثِقْلَ الذُّنُوبِ, because the weight of sin يَمْنَعُ مِنَ الْخِفَّةِ لِلْخَيْرَاتِ, the lightness needed to move towards obedience. وَالنَّشَاطِ, and to be active. وَالطَّاعَاتِ, and obedience. وَأَنَّ الْإِصْرَارَ عَلَى الذُّنُوبِ مِمَّا يُسَوِّدُ الْقُلُوبَ فَتَجِدُهَا فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَقَسَاوَةٍ. He said, because sin, it impacts the heart. The heart finds itself in a state of confusion, and harshness, and loss. لَا خُلُوصَ فِيهَا وَلَا سَفَاوَةٍ وَلَا لَذَّةٍ وَلَا حَلَاوَةٍ. And in that heart, you find no purity. The word safawa, actually, you know, we say al-jawsafi, when there's no clouds in the sky. So it's hard to translate. It means there's no clouds in the heart, man. The heart is not, you can see clearly. There's no blemishes. وَلَا لَذَّةٍ, and there's no true pleasure. وَلَا حَلَاوَةٍ, there's no true sweetness in this heart. Meaning the sweetness of Iman, the pleasure of Iman, the clarity of Iman. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي صُدُورِ. Allah says that hearts are blind. حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. So Hujarat, Allah SWT says that He made Iman beloved to them and sweet in their hearts. Then Sayyidina Imam, he says, وَإِنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمِ اللَّهُ فَسَتَجُرُّ صَاحِبَهَا إِلَى الْكُفْرِ وَالشَّقَاوَةِ. And if it wasn't for the mercy of Allah and that person, that sin would drive them to disbelief. Imagine, even though, alhamdulillah, we may sin, and even some of us as Muslims, we may be into some really evil sin. Allahu yahulu bayn al-mar'i wa qalbi. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved and protected the iman in our hearts. Even though we are steeped in sin, we still say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Faya ajaban kayfa yuwaffaqu lita'ah man huwa fi shu'umin wa qaswa. And he says, it's incredible. How could someone who's steeped in sin and evil be guided to obedience? وكيف يدعى إلى الخدمة من هو مصر على المعصية ومقيم على الجفوة. يا الله. And how can someone serve Allah when they are consistent in disobeying Allah? And they are, you know, we say مقيم. They are a resident of evil. وَكَيْفَ يُقَرَّبَ لِلْمُنَاجَاتِ مَنْ هُوَ مُتَلَطِّخٌ بِالْأَقْذَارِ وَالنَّجَاسَاتِ. Allah. And how can someone truly flee to Allah when they are covered by the filth and impurities of sin? ففي الخبر عن الصادق المصدوق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then he mentions a narration attributed to the Prophet. The sound narration, actually, with a little different wording, is related by Sayyidina Imam al-Tirmidhi. The Sunan of Sayyidina Imam al-Tirmidhi, inshallah, one day we can teach it to our students. هذا كتاب مهم يعني. One of my teachers used to say, من كان في بيته سنن ترمذي فكأن نبي في بيته. Whoever has the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi in their house, it's like the Prophet lived with them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyways, the Imam, he mentions this narration, إِذَا كَذَبَ الْعَبْدُ تَنَحَّ عَنْهُ الْمَلَكَانِ مِنْ نَتَنِ مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ فِيهِ. Allahu Akbar. The hadith, this narration is different than the one in Tirmidhi, but the hadith is similar in meaning that when somebody tells a lie, the two angels that are there to collect our deeds, they pull away from this person because of the filthy smell emanating from his or her mouth. The smell, of course, is not a physical smell. This is a smell of, subhanAllah, this is a spiritual smell. Even the malaika pull away from the person. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We also know this in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever fasts, you know, their breath is like rih al misk. Some people, they got this confused. They thought, oh, when I fast, my breath smells like musk. No, to the malaika next to you, or in Jannah. That now brings us to the question, what is sin? We live in a world now where people question authority to the point they question the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and revelation to designate what is sinful behavior. But if we believe in the Quran and believe in the Sunnah, then we know that those are the sources for defining sin. فَذُنُوبْ جَمْعُ الذَّنْبْ. In Sharia, sin is كل ما هو مخالف لأمر الله تعالى, is anything which opposes the commands of Allah, في ترك أو فعل, ما تستوجب عاقبته أو تلزم عاقبته. So a sin is to do anything which opposes a clear command of God, or to do something that opposes the clear command of Allah, either in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's sin. That's sin. And in our relationship to repentance, as Muslims, in all honesty, when we repent, we actually repent from being like one of two people. The first are those who know and don't act on what they know. They know, but they don't act. I know this is wrong, but for whatever reason, khalas. I know I'm supposed to do something right, and I don't do it. This is maghdubi alayhim. We find in Surah Al-Fatiha. The second are those people who don't know but try to do a lot of things. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdulaziz used to say, إِذَا عَمِلَ بِلَا عِلْمٍ يُفْسِدُ أَكْثَرُ مِمَّا يُصْلِحُ. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdulaziz used to say, whoever acts without knowledge will, alhamdulillah, do more evil than good. Then he says, رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَلَى نَفْعَنَ اللَّهُ تَعَلَى بِعِلْمِهِ فِي دَارِنِ آمِينَ قَالَ فَكَيْفَ يَصْلُحُ هَذَا اللِّسَانِ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. So using the hadith he mentioned earlier, that the Prophet ﷺ said, when somebody lies, the angel the two angels pull away from that person because of the filthy smell of their mouth. Sayyidina Imam Al-Ghazali, he says, فَكَيْفَ يَصْلُحُ هَذَا اللِّسَانُ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. So then how is it possible that a tongue that lies can be suitable to remember al-haq? فَلَا جَرَمَ لَا يَكَادُ يَجِدُ الْمُصِيرُ عَلَى الْعِسْيَانِ تَوْفِيقًا. So somebody who's constantly like steeped in evil and not repenting and not turning back to Allah, they're not going to experience success. وَلَا تَخِفَّ أَرْكَانُهُ لِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Nor will they find it like easy to worship. They won't be able to use their limbs. أَرْكَانُهُ means أَعْضَاءُ. Because they're doing the opposite of what Allah created them for. وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِ وَلَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطَعِمُونَ. Allah created us for ibadah. Now we're using ourselves in a way which is contrary to its purpose. فَنِتَّفَقَ فَبِكَدِّمْ لَا حَلَاوَةَ مَعَهُ وَلَا صَفْوَةَ. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ لِسْشُؤُومِ الذُّنُوبِ وَتَرْكِ تَوْبَةَ. And here's something very important that we want to think about, because we don't want people to get distraught, right? We don't want people to give up or to get distraught. So he's saying what I'm talking about now is for people who do not repent. خلاص, يعني, he's talking about this in the context of someone who's doing evil but doesn't repent, right? Of course, we all fall into evil. We all make mistakes. We all sin. And the best sinners are those who repent, as the Prophet mentioned. But here he's talking about someone who's just obstinate. You know what? They don't repent. They just keep doing it, and they don't care. فَنِتُّفَقَ فَبِكَدِّنْ لَا حَلَاوَةَ مَعَهُ وَلَا صَفْوَةَ. And so it's like if perchance that person was going to, you know, be guided, there would be no real sweetness in this guidance. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ لِشُؤُومِ الذُّنُوبِ وَتَرْكِ تَوْبَةِ. And all that is because they are steeped in sin and have left repentance. وَلَقَدَ صَدَقَ مَنْ قَالَ إِذَا لَمْ تَقْوَى عَلَى قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ وَصِيَامِ النَّهَارِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ مَكْبُولٌ قَدْ قَبَّلَتْكَ خَطِيئَتُكَ. Actually, this is a very beautiful statement of the Imam. That many of our spiritual ancestors have shared with us. And that is that if somebody finds it heavy to worship, and here he mentions fasting in the daytime and praying in the nighttime. And he's not talking about health issues. That's very different. What he's talking about here is a spiritual lethargy, a spiritual laziness. So people may ask, what is the sign that I need to repent? So here he's saying, if you find it weighty and difficult to worship, you are then makbulun, captured, qad qabbalatka khati'atuk. You have been ensnared by your sins. So the way to loosen that is to repent. Radiallahu anhu. MashaAllah. Fahadihi hadihi. He said, this is what it is. Right? You got to take it upon yourself to repent regularly, and I repent regularly to remove the weight of sin, because the weight of sin has an impact. Keeps me from worship. Keeps me feeling bad. One day someone sent me a message. They said, my iman is so low. I feel so horrible. I can't pray. I said, repent. And they wrote back and they said, how dare you tell me this? How dare you tell me to repent? You think you're better than me? I said, no, man. Why did it have to go that way? if you want advice, I'll give advice. I'm not necessarily going to give you the advice you want, but this is what I know works in my own life. It's what I would tell myself. So the Sheikh, he says, فَهَذِهِ هَذِهِ. This is what it is. وَثَانِي, the second reason that we should repent, مِنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِمَّا تَلْزَمُكَ تَوْبَةُ لِتُقْبَلَ مِنْكَ عِبَادَتُكَ. The second reason for repentance is so that your righteous deeds and acts of devotion will be accepted. فَإِنَّ رَبَّ الدَّيْنِ. Because, and what he means here is your nafil acts, not the fard. And this is one of the greatest deceptions of shaitan, and I put something today about it on Instagram and TikTok. It's interesting, it's called TikTok, and so many people wasting their minutes on it and their seconds on it. Tick, tock, tick, tock. That time. Imagine every second will be for us or against us. It says, وَثَانِي مِنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِنَّمَا تَلْزَمُكَ تَوْبَةُ لِتُقْبَلَ مِنْكَ عِبَادَتُكَ فَإِنَّ رَبَّ الدَّيْنِ لَا يَقْبَلُ الْهَدِيَّةَ. So what he's saying here is that another reason that we need to repent regularly is so that our extra deeds outside of the obligatory deeds will be accepted. And this is one of the greatest traps of shaitan. That a person will not be praying Fajr, will not be praying Isha, will be horrible to his or her family, will be rude to his or her parents, but think that because I'm in da'wah, or think because I'm an influencer, that I am absolved of those obligations, and Allah loves me and has forgiven me. Even though they're not doing those obligations. It's one of the greatest tricks of shaitan. Why? Someone does all those voluntary acts of good. So they built the walls to the house. They put the roof on the house. But you got no foundation. So the nice walls, the marble, the nice filters that you put on that joint, the fancy roof, it all is going to fall. Haba'an manthura. The Quran says it's going to be like wool. Fear Allah. And that's why the hereafter gives perspective. No matter how many followers someone may have, if what they are doing is not essential to salvation in the hereafter, those followers will be a witness potentially against them in front of Allah. May Allah protect us. And there are hadith that mention this explicitly. That people will see people in hell. And they will say to them, how are you here? You used to tell us about the good stuff. And they will say, I said it, but I didn't live it. So the Sheikh is saying, repent all the time so that your good extra deeds will be accepted. That will buy you a little time while you work to establish the obligatory acts. And he gives a very powerful example. فَإِنَّ رَبَّ الدَّيْنِ لَا يَقْبَلُ الْهَدِيَّةَ. Because someone you owe a debt to, they're not going to accept a gift from you. If you contacted the people we owe our college debt to, student loans. They say, hey, how you doing? Hey, man, it's me. I've been in debt to you for like 40 years. What's up? What's good? How's it going, B? Oh, everything's great. You know what, man? I got you a PlayStation 5. That cool? Let the debt go. I'll give you the PlayStation 5. Everything's gravy, right? Cool. Salaam alaikum. Click. You think they're going to accept the PlayStation 5? Somebody might actually, but in reality, no. So he said, that's the same thing in your relationship with God. You might have a million followers on Instagram. You might be blowing up like a hot air balloon. But if you are not observing what Allah commanded you and made fard on you, then you are like someone trying to give the person you owe a debt to a gift. They're not going to accept it. فَإِنَّ رَبَّ الدَّيْنِ لَا يَقْبَلُ الْهَدِيَّةِ said, because the one you owe that debt to is not going to accept the gift in its place. وَذَٰرِكَ أَنَّ تَوْبَةَ عَنِ الْمَعَاصِي وَإِرْضَاءِ الْخُصُومِ فَرْضٌ لَازِمٌ. And that's why repentance from evil is a fard. وَعَمَّةُ الْعِبَادَةِ الَّتِي تَقْصِدُهَا نَفْلٌ. And most of the worship, he said, here you can appreciate the tricks of shaitan. That the majority of the acts of worship that you do are actually not fard. They're voluntary, they're nafl. فَكَيْفَ يُقْبَلُ مِنْكَ تَبَرُّعُكَ أو تبرعك والدين عليك حال لم تقتضي. And how do you expect your charitable donations of good deeds to be accepted when you haven't fulfilled the loan that you have to pay back to your creator? وكيف تترك لأجله الحلال والمباح وأنت مصر على فعل المحظور والحرام. And how do you justify not doing certain things that are halal and not doing certain things that are permissible in the name of piety while you are still committing haram? وكيف تناجيه وتدعوه وتثني عليه وهو والعياذ بالله عليك الربان فهذا ظاهر حال العصاة المصيرين على المعصية والله المستعان. And he says, and how can you flee to the one and turn to the one in dua and praise him while he is angry with you? فهذا ظاهر حال العصاة المصيرين على المعصية. He said, and this is the case of most of the people who fall or are consistently caught up in sin. والله المستعان. Then Imam Al-Ghazali says, فَإِن قُلْتَ فَمَا مَعْنَى تَوْبَةِ النَّصُوحِ. You may ask, what is true repentance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. There's another qira'a, النُّصُوحَ. نَصُوحَ, نُصُوحَ. What does nasaha mean? It means to go somewhere and never come back. فَإِن قُلْتَ فَمَا مَعْنَى تَوْبَةِ النُّصُوحِ. If you ask, what does that mean? What does it mean, like, tawbah nasuha? And you ask, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَفْعَلَهُ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ كُلِّهَا. And what does a worshipper have to do in order to escape from sin? Before we share the answer of the imam, let's talk about repentance. Sayyidina Dhu Nun al-Masri was asked about tawbah. He said, tawbatul awami min al-thunub. You know, the repentance of the regular folks is from sin. وَتَوْبَةُ الْخَوَاصِ مِنَ الْغَفْلَةِ. And the repentance of those who know Allah is to repent from negligence. فَتَوْبَةُ الْعَوَامِ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَتَوْبَةُ الْخَوَاصِ مِنَ الْغَفْلَةِ. Imam Al-Ghazali says, أَمَّا تَوْبَةُ فَإِنَّهَا سَعْيٌ مِنْ مَسَائِلِ الْقَلْبِ. Repentance is from the actions of the heart. It's something that the heart strives for. وَهِيَ عِنْدَ التَّحْصِيلِ فِي قَوْلِ الْعُلَمَاءِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ تَنْزِيهُ الْقَلْبِ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ. And now we're going to address this in a much more detailed way. He says that in, you know, the epistemological framework of scholars, Tawba is tanzihu al-qalbi ani dhunub, is that the heart transcends or moves beyond sin. Qala shaykhuna rahimahullah ta'ala fi haddi Tawba, he mentions one of his teachers in his definition of Tawba, said, innahu tarku ikhtiyari dhanbin sabaqa mithluhu anhu manzilan suratan ta'ziman lillahi ta'ala wa hadaran min sakhatihi. Yeah, this is heavy. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that tawbah, true tawbah, is to leave sin by choice. So you have the, you've chosen to avoid sin, which someone has fallen into previously, out of awe and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fearing His anger. That definition. Sayyidina Imami says, فَلَهَا إِذًا أَرْبَعَةُ شَرَائِتُ. From that we can understand that Tawbah has four conditions. That's what we're going to talk about quickly. إِحْدَاهَا تَرْكُ الْخْتِيَارِ الذَّنْبِ. The first is to use your utility and to avoid sinning. And what's important about this component of the definition is that it puts the onus on the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran warns us of being those people, أَوْ تَقُولَ لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هَدَانِي. You know, when Allah guides me, I'll be good. لا يا شيخ. Of course, we ask Allah for His guidance, and then we have to try. فَتَرْقُ اِخْتِيَارِ ذَمْ. So the person, in his or her own power, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and utility, refrains from choosing to do the sin. وهو, what does that mean? أن يوطن قلبه ويجرد عزمته على أنه لا يعود إلى ذنب البتر. What that means is two things. Number one is the person checks his or her heart and stops it from heading to the sin. And then also has the resolve to never go back to it. فَأَمَّا إِن تَرَكَ الذَّمْ وَفِي نَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ رُبَّمَا يَعُودُ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ لَا يَعْزِيمُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ بَلْ يَتَرَدَّدُ فَإِنَّهُ رُبَّمَا يَقَعُ لَهُ الْعَوْدُ فَإِنَّهُ مَمْتَنِعٌ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ غَيْرُ تَائِبٍ. This actually is really nice, man. So what he's saying is that when a person feels this sense of remorse, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the first part of this has to be met with, like, really three things. Regret. Number two is refusing to do the sin, not allowing my heart to choose it. And then the third is having the resolve to never go back. And he says, if somebody repents, وَلَكِنَّهُ يَتَرَدَّدُ, but they're like, I don't know, maybe. He said, we don't call this ta'ib, we call this mumtani'. They have prohibited themselves from the sin, but there's a chance they may go back to it. But tawba, the word tawba means to turn away. Tibtu ankum. But if I'm not really sure I'm going to turn away, you know, I kind of like them, I don't know, and I'm going to let it. So temporarily, this is called mumtani'. وَثَانِيَةُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ مِنْ ذَنْبٍ قَبْلَ سَبَقَ عَنْهُ مِثْلُهُ إِذْ لَوْ لَمْ يَسْبِقْ عَنْهُ مِثْلُهُ لَكَانَ مُتَّقِيًا غَيْرَ تَائِبٍ. He says, and the second is that the person repents from a sin which they actually fell into. So something that someone actually, the mistake, had done this evil. So that's why Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu wa karrama Allahu wajh ma taba lillahi bil kufr. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, he never made tawbah for disbelief. Why? Because Sayyidina Ali, he became Muslim when he was 9 years old. لكن سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه تاب لكفره. Even though he was, mashallah, a great Muslim, one of the greatest Muslims in our ummah, Sayyiduna Umar ibn Khattab, he would often repent for his disbelief. Why? Because Sayyidina Arima sabaqahu al-kufr. He never committed kufr, so he didn't need to repent. But Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he repented for that mistake. So it's okay sometimes those of us like myself, those of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadana ila hadha deen, wafaqana ila sirat al-mustaqim. Those of us who Allah guided to Islam, when we think about the past and some of the mistakes that we made, we can repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's ta'ib. But if somebody never fell into the sin, this is what muttaqiyan. Yani, just muttaqiyan. That's why he mentions here, Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali says, أَرَى تَرَى أَنَّهُ يَصِحُّ الْقَوْلُ بِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَانَ مُتَّقِيًا عَنِ الْكُفْرِ وَلَا يَصِحُّ الْقَوْلُ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَ تَائِبًا عَنِ الْكُفْرِ إِذْ لَمْ يُسْبِقْ عَنْهُ كُفْرًا بِحَالٍ. That's why Sayyidina Nabi صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he never repented for kufr, because he never fell into kufr, even before he was a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama. Wa anna Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu kana ta'iban an al-kufri lima sabaqa anhu thalik. Sayyidina Umar, he repented because before he fell into kufr. So the first we said is that someone has to be determined not to return to the sin. If they repent, I don't know, maybe I'm going to do it again, this is mumtani'an. The second is that if they fell into the sin, they repent. If they haven't fallen into the sin, then they ask Allah to protect them, alhamdulillah. ثم قال الإمام والثالثة أن الذي سبق عنه يكون مثل الذي يترك اختياره في المنزلة والدرجة لا في سورة. الله أكبر. This actually is very beautiful, man. You know, he says the third thing that you need to know as a foundation of Tawbah is that if somebody fell into sin, say they were very young, so their physiological makeup, their biological makeup, their emotional makeup, and their physical makeup will not be the same as when they become old. So maybe when they're older, they want to repent. But maybe shaitan will come to them and say, oh, now you're old. Now you want to repent for the things you did when you're young. Allah will never forgive you. A'udhu billah. The imam, he says, no. He said, it is sufficient for a person who is unable to commit the same sin that they did in the past to repent generally for other sins as a means to cover all those sins. MashaAllah. يعني في المنزلة والدرجة لا في سورة. أي لا مش نفس الشيء يعني. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, you know, you meet people, oh, when I was young, you know, I did this, I was such a bad person, or just a few years ago, I didn't know what I know now, I was so stupid, and خلاص توبي إلى الله. ألا ترى أن الشيخ الهرم الفاني الذي سبق منه الزنا وقطع الطريق إذا أراد أن يتوب عن ذلك يمكنه توبة لا محالة إذ لم يغلق عنه بابها. الله أكبر. He says, think about an old person who's near, you know, their last years. And when they were young, they committed zina and highway robbery. If that person wanted to repent, it's certainly acceptable for them to repent, because the doors of repentance are not closed until someone dies. ولا يمكنه ترك اختيار الزنا وقطع الطريق. Even though at that moment in his or her life, being elderly, they don't really have the ability to say like, I'm not doing this. Because they don't have the strength. Like, he doesn't have the strength to rob. So just because he doesn't have the ability to do the sins he did in the past, doesn't mean he cannot seek forgiveness for the sins he did in the past. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. إِذْ هُوَ لَا يَقْدِرُ السَّاعَةَ عَلَى فِعْلِ ذَلِكَ. God doesn't have the ability to do that at all. فَلَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَرْكِ اِخْتِيَارِ فَلَا يُصِحُ وَصْفُهُ بِأَنْهُ تَارِكُ لَهُ مُمْتَنِعٌ عَنْهُ وَهُوَ عَاجِزٌ عَنْهُ غَيْرُ مُتَمَكِّنٍ مِنْهُ لَكِنَّهُ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى فِعْلِ مَا هُوَ مِثْلُ زِنَا وَقَطِّ الطَّرِيقِ فِي الْمَنْزِلَةِ وَالدَّرَجَةِ كَالْكَذِبِ وَالْقَذْفِ وَالْغِيبَةِ وَالنَّمِيمَةِ إِذْ جَمِيعُ ذَلِكَ مَعَاصٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ الْإِثْمُ يَتَفَاوَتُ فِي كُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ بِقَدْرِهَا لكن جميع هذه المعاصي الفرعية كلها بمنزلة واحدة وهي دون منزلة البدع. نعم. So basically what he's saying, رحمه الله تعالى, is that, oops, that person, mashallah, at that moment, may not have the ability to repent for those things. Repent for those things that he or she did when they were young. But there are other things that he or she is doing as that they are old, that if they repent for, like lying, slandering, backbiting, spreading harmful information that's not true, that even though those sins may be different in the degree of evil, that the general repentance, if done sincerely for those things, will cover all of that, alhamdulillah. And he gives some other examples, like bid'ah and kufr. He said, like, bid'ah is not the same as kufr. But if somebody were to repent for both of them, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive them, inshallah, if they change their life. والرابع the fourth أن يكون ترك اختياره لذلك تعظيما لله عز وجل وحظرا من سخطه. The fourth is that the reason the person leaves these sins is out of their reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تعظيما لله عز وجل وحظرا in fleeing min sakhatihi from his anger, wa alimi iqabihi and from his punishment in the hereafter, mujarradan sincerely, la li raghbatin dunyawiyyatin aw rahbatin min an-nas, not because the person hopes to gain something from this world or is scared of the people. The repentance is for Allah. أو طلب ثناء أو صيت أو جاه أو ضعف في النفس, or that a person is doing this for fame, right? Doing this to be praised. You know, this person has repented, mashallah. And that's why we have to be very careful with new Muslims, man. You got to allow new Muslims to grow outside of the light of the public. Too much attention is not good, man. There's still a lot of work to do. Because sometimes the attention of people can blind you from really working on yourself. Because the attention of the people, that gas, will fill a person up, but it's not clean gas. It's not healthy. Al-da'af, and a person doesn't repent because they're weak, fi nafs, because they're weak, and al-faqr, and they're poor, they want to gain some financial thing. La, the tawbah is for Allah. Al-ghayri dharika, fahadihi shara'itu tawbah. These are the conditions of tawbah wa arkaniha, and its foundations. Fa'idha hasalta wa stakmalta fahiyya tawbatun حَقِيقِيَّةٌ صَادِقَةٌ. And if you were to fulfill these conditions, then this is true repentance. So the Imam, and we're going to review it quickly, he answered the question that a person asked. That person asked, what is real repentance? Tawbatan nasuha. So he said, number one, that tawbah is an action of the heart. And for that reason, it has four conditions that you need to think about. Number one is that a person leaves the sin and has a resolve never to turn back to it. The second, and I'm skipping through the notes here, is that the person is repenting for a sin they fell into previously. أَنْ يَتُوبَ مِنْ ذَنْبٍ قَدْ سَبَقَ عَنْهُ مِثْلُهُ. The third is that a person does not have to commit the sin. And there's another reason he's saying this. So let's say as a young person, someone robbed the bank. And then when they got older, they were like, oh, I should repent for this, but the only way I can be forgiven is if I like rob a bank again, because there's no sin equal to robbing a bank. He said, "Lala, don't think like that." He said, "The third, الذي سبق عنه يكون مثل الذي يترك اختياره في المنزلة والدرجة لا في سورة." That it is sufficient at the third level to repent for the sins you've made between you and Allah only is what he's talking about. Any time in your life. Because ma'asi is ma'asi. And then the fourth is that the repentance is for Allah, not for some kind of gain or fame, not for attention, not for accolades, not for anything like that, but that the repentance is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.